Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 21st of May.
Yee-hee. Back from the brink. Are you recovered?
The brink.
Are you recovered yet?
Yeah.
We partied. We had a good time.
It was okay.
Which, by the way, folks, for anybody listening, that means for anybody else in this world, an unbelievably fantastic time. We missed the 10th floor of the LBJ library. I'll give you that. Let's talk about some of the things we're going to be talking about tonight. We are calling this the decimal meeting completed.
Decimal meeting.
Decimal. Decimal.
Decimal. Decimal.
Yeah, deciannual.
I don't know.
Is it every 10-year meeting? We met in Austin. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely.
Right. I'm proclaiming here and forevermore John C. Dvorak being the man all about the taco. He knows how to pick them. Markets are down the last 4 weeks. War
no
declared on tech. What's that?
I said no evidence of that. But
we
okay.
have a lot of evidence of that. Although the picture of me that we had was of all the beers stacked up in front of me, and you just had the taco. But that was good, the Democrat. And yeah, we were at the big nuptials, the Curry nuptials.
The wedding of the decade.
Of the decade. And it was a veritable who's who of people. Some nice people, some really nice people we met there. And John and I spent some time in Austin. What do we do? Let's see. We went to the LBJ. With me, it always seems to be that way lately. Went to the LBJ library, and we were sorely disappointed that the 10th floor, which is what we wanted to see, was not available.
Yeah, it was rained out, and they can't seem to fix it very, you know, it was a disaster.
I'm not exactly sure what is in between the 4th floor and the 10th floor that we have to, that the library is only in the 3rd floor, 4th floor. And
probably a lot of papers.
Papers, that's just a lot of mess they're still cleaning up from his presidency.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to meet Mimi, which she was wonderful. Wonderful. So smart. Has a lot of depth to her.
Yes.
And we spent some time doing that. We went around town looking for scooters and seeing what that was all about. Of course, looking for terrible. What was worse, the scooters or the homeless problem?
Scooters.
Yeah, scooters were definitely worse. And then we were on the hunt for something to eat for lunch, and John had on a piece of paper somewhere this piece of paper was that had the name of a taco place on it.
Yeah, I decided I don't use my navigator anymore.
Right. Well, so what we had to do is stop the car. And John had to get out and take out a ton of papers with everything on it, receipts and different little notes and things from the hotel. And finally, when we just about gave up on finding that piece of paper, he pulled it out of a back pocket. That was awesome.
Well, I knew I had it on me somewhere.
You did. So we went out to this great taco place and we had some nice tacos, some beers. Then, of course, headed over to the Curry wedding, which was very nice, and then had some nightcappers. So you're all caught up. Some people did have a question, though. There was a lot of question about that picture of the four of us.
Yeah.
Where I look like I was 4'11".
Yeah. Well, people have to look at that picture and realize that I'm 6'1". Still, I was 6'2 years ago, but I'm 6'1 now. And so it makes me look like I'm 5'3".
Right. It was like a weird...
I don't know why. It was just the angle and the fact that I was standing kind of behind these other two guys. One of our guys from the No Agenda show, and is also a famous entrepreneur, David Foley, and Adam, who's 6'4 plus. And so we looked like a couple... And it was just a poor picture. I don't know why you posted it, but you did.
I'm sorry. I did. But we have some other things that are really good. I'm thinking about making like a poster. Somebody said they want us to make a poster to have available for the audience. So we're going to kind of work on maybe a collage poster from Austin.
Well, I'm thinking, why don't we just go to a famous poster house? And yeah, there's a bunch of them around the country. Ames Brothers up in Seattle, Drowning Creek down in the, I think they're in the South somewhere. And they'll do posters, and really artistic posters. And they'll make you a bunch of them, and they keep a bunch to sell themselves as just unsigned posters. But we can get the good ones and sign them off.
That'd be great. Cool. And especially, you haven't seen anything to see the pictures of John in the LBJ library, the black and whites we took?
Yeah.
Those are great. Those are great shots. Yeah. Well, let's get back to the markets for a minute, give you a quick market update here on what's going on DH Unplugged. Well, we saw that techs were getting hacksawed at the beginning of the week as the executive order from President Trump putting the kibosh on Huawei, that they are now a national security
risk,
some kind of something. Right. They're spies. They're terrible people. They're part. Every single part of their infrastructure seems to be a device for spying somehow. And then all of a sudden, all the suppliers, you know, they have like some crazy number, like 80% of the smartphone market. Or some ridiculous number.
They have a very large number, yes. That we don't see them in this country. Although you can buy them on Amazon.
Yeah, but for, I don't know how much longer. You probably should buy some for a collector's item.
No, I think they're always, the gray markets takes care of itself. These are gray market items.
But they also do a lot of part supplies for other phones. So that was...
Do you know that Huawei's now, they're I think 40% of all patents on a yearly basis are from Huawei.
Wow.
They've gone nuts.
Wow. That's like the old IBM.
Yeah. Well, that paid off for IBM. They could coast on those patents.
Yeah. But now, so what happened was that we had this... This conversation last week about, okay, you're not going to come to the table with what you said, with what you discussed, with what you agreed to. And yet we're going to hike these tariffs up now. And now all of a sudden now we go and banish one of their companies from doing business. And this is just starting a whole chain reaction. And we saw yesterday the semiconductors got walloped. I mean, down 5-6% per stock at least. And then Apple was down like $6 or $7 yesterday. The thought about a retaliation against Apple by China. And so this whole problem is developing. We got a lot more on Huawei in a second. But I'll mention that consumer optimism popped back very nicely in the last report, which was good to see. It was dropping off pretty bad, and then all of a sudden things got a little bit better. But one of the things that I found really interesting of late is that we are continuing to see a drop in treasury yields. And treasury yields drop as people put more money into bonds looking for, I guess, a safety trade of some sort or looking for an alternative to put their money. And you got to look at this yield. This is the 10-year treasury yield. This is a chart over on dhunplugged.com on show notes for episode 457. And 457. So you see this. And back in, what was that, November? Yields are at like 3.25% on the 10-year. Yeah. They dropped off to like 2.4%. That's an enormous slide.
Yeah, it's way too fast for a short time.
And what's really interesting, they dropped off into the end of the year. That's when everybody was really concerned about the markets. Everybody was starting to load up on bonds again. There was this whole idea that there was going to be a significant amount of people exiting stocks, entering bonds, and then they dropped off. They picked up a little bit and then just continued their shellacking back down. So the question you have to ask yourself, is this going to be a situation where the bond market is right, or are the low yields just a significant boost to stocks because now people don't want to be in bonds as much, or I guess they are being in bonds, but they're looking at stocks as a great alternative now because yields are so low. It's a very hard thing to parse.
Yeah. I was watching some show today about they're going over the Tesla bonds, apparently, have all collapsed.
Yep.
And I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Because of the bond crash, it still hasn't happened, but things are going down, and prices are going down, but in some cases they're going up. 10-year, this yield is going down, so the bond's going up. I mean,
well, the problem with Tesla is also, I think that the commentary last week about that they have 10 months of road to run on with the amount of money they took in from their recent, their money raise. And then on top of that, with their burn and with the sales that are going the way they are, that they all of a sudden are concerned that they may run out of money.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought?
And we're looking for a fire sale.
Who would have thought? They just lowered the price of their cars today. I mean, they're trying everything. They're just trying everything.
Well, you know, the whole thing is there's something. What I don't like about Tesla is the scammish nature of everything. And what I mean by that is first they took down payments on the S. They actually did with the little sports car. The little sports car, nobody could get into it. It was really not a good car. But, people bought them because they're kind of cool. And they went fast. Tesla's really selling its whole line of cars based on speed, which is cool. But the it was $50,000 for a Model S you could have picked one up for when they were first taking orders. Then when they came out, they're like $75,000 or $85,000, and then they went over $105,000. And so the prices skyrocketed. And they could never. And then they came out with the Model 3. They were going to sell it for $35,000, but they could never bring one. No one's bought one for that price that I know. I think they can't get that model out. Am I not mistaken? And or am I mistaken on that? As far as I can tell,
I mean,
it's a horrible thing to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is also, as you mentioned,
they got no resale value.
Well, the scammish nature of it is that everything that they do seems to be very, it just seems to be fishy. Every single thing that happens seems to be this, there's always an explanation needed because there's something weird about something that's said. Oh, he didn't mean that. Oh, he was saying this. There's always something. I find it very difficult to, invest in a company where the CEO has to be an explanation of something.
Yeah, there's something wrong with the company in that regard.
Well,
but you can't put your finger on it, It's because the cars are great little cars.
Great car, but first of all, it was overvalued. If it's a car play, it's overvalued. If it's a tech play, it's questionably valued. And there was way too many people that had this total love affair with just the car, looking at just what?
I was just going to say that just as you mentioned tech play, The whole reason for tech plays to exist is scalability.
Yeah.
Which is, you build a chip, fancy chip. Everybody wants this chip. In 18 months, it'll be half the price.
You get the Moore's Law.
You can make it twice as much of it.
Right.
And you can skyrocket. You can make tons of these things. It's like somebody once described them as jelly beans. That's not the case with a piece of hardware like this car.
Right. I agree. I totally agree.
I'm sorry, you were saying something. I interrupted.
I was just saying that the problem also is you have to separate the love affair with the car from the management of the business. You can have the best product like Edsel, you can have the best product out there, Osborne, you name it. But if you have management that makes missteps on time and time again, and then on top of it, you have them doing things like, funding secured in 420 and, then buying stock underneath, taking major margin money out on loan on it. And just, and then you see a lot of upper management leaving. These are all signs of something doesn't smell right. Yeah. And all
smoking a blunt on the Joe Rogan show.
And then all these people that are so in love with the car, they cannot separate the fact that the product is not the company. GoPro is a great product. The price of where it was being played at and the reality of you just don't need another one once you get that first one and then it's easily copyable and all. It just the whole thing didn't work. It's the same thing here. We're now in a situation where not only do we have these problems on potential demand for the Tesla itself, but other companies are starting to come out with cars. Now, do they have the same price point? Is it as great as a Tesla? People sometimes look past that and they say, I want to buy something cheaper. I want to buy the alternative. I'll wait till something else comes out.
My favorite of all the electric cars that I've played with is the Volt. Not the Bolt, but the Volt, the Chevy Volt. And the new one is very pretty car. It's very well designed. It's good looking, the newest Volt. But this is just going to drop them. So, I mean.
But isn't the Volt a hybrid?
No, it's not a hybrid technically.
Oh.
Hybrids are designed differently than this thing. This thing is an electric car that has a motor that will charge up the batteries in a way that hybrids don't. It doesn't work like a hybrid. For one thing, when you're driving along with a hybrid, you start going real fast, it kicks over to the motor, and the motor comes on and off, and it feels like it. This is all electric until the battery goes dead. It's not technically a hybrid, but it does have a little motor in it.
Right.
Just different. But I like that car. It's a very nice car.
Hmm. Well, let's talk about and get in depth into this Huawei situation. So there was this executive order that was put upon them that ordered a prohibition on transactions that involve information, communications, technology, services, design, and blah, 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 blah. From companies that are subject to the jurisdiction or direction of a foreign adversary, whenever the Secretary of Commerce determines that a transaction would pose a threat to national security. That's the Department of Commerce, what they said in a statement.
Yeah.
So here's some more, a timeline, a more in depth about this. On May 8th, the 5G rollout, this was the whole big thing with Huawei. They would do this big 5G rollout. It may face a big delay in the UK because there was some investigations going on. May 15th, Trump basically banned Huawei with a national security order, as we just talked about. May 16th, Huawei says the U.S. ban will significantly harm American jobs and companies. May 19th, Google reportedly cuts off Huawei from future Android updates. Now, there's all this stuff that's going on, and there's more unsealed documents that came out, and 23 counts pertaining to alleged theft of intellectual property. And remember that, of course, the owner's or the founder's daughter was arrested in Canada.
What's been the disposition of this, by the way? I haven't heard anything over the last month.
Let's see. Huawei daughter.
Apparently you haven't either.
No, daughter arrest. Let's look it up. Still fighting 2 days ago. Fighting extradition.
Well, you know, she has three. They put under house arrest in Vancouver. She has three homes there. Two spec houses and a place she lives in is a pied-à-terre, I believe.
10 hours ago. Let's see what this is. The founder of Chinese tech giant Huawei reports expect his daughter to go to jail, but is not worried about but is not worried about her future. I don't know what that means. I guess it's still under house arrest in Canada.
Yeah, house arrest.
House arrest in Canada. But now fast forward to May 21st today, and we saw a U-turn already. So once again, we have these things happen days before, and everybody's up in arms because the stock market goes down. And what happens? Some restrictions are walked back for 90 days. To make sure that there's a good transition, it's easier to deal with. Google, you know, their announcement was reversed a little bit. I don't understand. Help me about this. I don't understand how this administration makes these incredibly harsh decisions and then just walks them back a couple of days later.
I'm always thinking that they're test marketing constantly.
So they're just these old trial balloons to see how everybody reacts to it?
Is that possible?
What would be the point?
To see how everyone reacts. Like you do put the hammer down on something and nobody cares. You say, good, now we're going to leave the hammer down.
Yeah, it seems like a very, you know, it seems like a marriage when you keep on saying, hey, let's get divorced. Oh, I'm only kidding. I mean, it seems to be putting people in a...
Get divorced, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, I'm leaving. I'll stay. It seems like there's this...
There's something like that, yeah.
Right, it's the same thing. You know, can you play with people's emotions and... doesn't there become a point where you just don't either believe either side of the discussion anymore? Maybe that's what they're trying to do.
I think it's in a negotiating style that Trump developed, maybe.
I don't personally like it. I find it to be
anybody likes it.
Well, I don't like it because it affects my business. In a way, it creates uncertainty and inability to make any decisions. And I think that probably goes up the ladder for many corporations that are looking to make decisions. And they don't just make decisions like for the next day. They make it for 5 or 10 years out. And how do you make those kind of decisions in such uncertainty? You don't.
You don't.
You don't. That's why you do your buybacks, because you're not going to do anything else. You're not going to do a lot of expending. You're not going to do a lot of expansion and plans. You don't know who's going to be taxed, what's going to be taxed. You don't know who's going to be shut down, where you can work, where you can't. This is why semiconductors took a hit after reaching a high in April. The semiconductor index is now down 16%. I think it was up about 2% today. Chinese stocks are also taking a hit, those in the technology sector. And I have a little chart here I put together for you.
Let's see.
It's a 2x4. So this is a smattering of Chinese stocks in the technology area since pretty much the beginning of this year, and shows how they performed. So you got JD.com, Baidu, Baba, Alibaba, Weibo, Baozun, Neo, Autohome, and Tencent Music. And for the most part, they all look pretty ugly over the last 4 weeks.
Neo is that electric car company, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It was at 425 when I printed this and snagged this. I think it's about 440 now, which is, you know, a little up today. These all returned a bit today. These came back. But look how they were. This was when I snagged it late in the day yesterday. Baidu down 8.5%. Autohome down 6.5%. Tencent Music down 1.5%. JD 3%.
Autohome do?
Autohome. Yeah, I'll tell you in a second. ATHM stock. Autohome. Let's see. Autohome. I'm assuming they do some kind of technology for profile. Let's see. They're up 2% today, by the way. They're in Beijing. They operate an online destination for automobile consumers of the People's Republic of China through its websites. And they deliver comprehensive, independent, and interactive content to automobile buyers and owners, including company-generated content such as automobile-related articles. So far,
boom. Oh, God. So far, sounds like a loser.
Pricing trends in various local markets, photographs, video clips, and live streaming. This is, and then probably somewhere you can
sounds
click.
Sounds like a dot-com play from the late 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, this is behind its time. they have all the services of the dealer market, subscription services.
Well, the only one I like, by the way, I'm going to put Neo on the list today.
Neo's been an interesting stock.
Yeah, it's going on.
Yep. All right. Let's see here. Just a quick mention here, trading webinars on Fridays with me. You can go over, there's a little link there. We're going to do these cool webinars where kind of go over the charts and have some live trading going on. And we did it last week very successfully. We had a nice audience. And we're going to do it again this week where you can sign up and register over on DH Unplugged episode 457, or follow me on Twitter, which is Andrew Horowitz, one word, or unrelated to that point, last point, John is at The Real Dvorak. The Real Dvorak. Is there an unreal Dvorak? Have we asked this question before?
Probably.
Is there a fake Dvorak?
Gotta be a fake. Oh, there's plenty of fake Dvoraks.
Yeah. Ford, speaking of cars, Ford is cutting 7,000 white-collar jobs, or about 10% of its salaried staff worldwide. As part of a cost-cutting effort, it says will save the company about $600 million a year. So let's think about that. 7,000 white-collar jobs. 7,000 white-collar. I need a calculator. If we take, I don't even have my calculator. Let's see. 60 million divided by 700. It's about $85,000 per person per year of benefits and salary. So that's the average pay that they're going to lose there. So $600 million a year. They said they'll begin to notify employees will be notified as of today, and the termination will be completed by the end of August. About 2,400 job cuts in North America. 1,500 positions will be eliminated through a voluntary buyout offer. So So it may save them $600 a year, but they'll probably have to pay an extra $600 million to get this done.
Yeah.
The move is in an effort to cut bureaucracy within the company and flatten the management structure in addition to its desire to cut costs. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of interesting where we saw that there was this big move to try to get more manufacturing jobs here in the United States, and we're seeing this pretty big, I mean, 10%, well, it's white collar. I guess it's white collar. So what are they going to do? What are they going to flatten management out? It's a lot of white collar employees.
Well, you know, they always found Ford to be probably overloaded with white collar guys. They're just bureaucrats. They don't know what they don't do anything really.
I probably 6,000 of them don't do anything. They stand around all day looking for something to do, looking busy.
Yeah, so, I believe there's more of that than they don't really want to do anything.
And they're not being, that means they're not.
It's just called Deadwood.
Yeah.
Deadwood, and there's Deadwood. A lot of it at Ford, I guess. I'm assuming there is. I've dealt with Ford before, and I find there's a lot of people do all the work, and a lot of people do nothing and don't want to hear from you. So it's probably a good thing. Mm. I'd say this is a good thing.
All right. I was thinking about buying Ford on this. Maybe I'll put that on the game.
In the game.
Ford. Let's see. This is kind of an interesting thing. I tried to look into this. I found this really fascinating because there was a news story out by Nike. Now, let me start with the news story first. The news story was something about Nike was in the crosshairs because there was something about some of their contracts they had with female athletes that during their time of pregnancy, when maybe they weren't playing of sorts, that they stopped paying them their contract deals. You know, they say, well, you're not, I guess, you know, you're not playing, you're not, if you're not out there, you're not getting paid. So whether it's tennis or golf or basketball, whatever it is. So now these endorsement deals had a clause that they weren't getting paid. And this whole thing that was going on, and they said, moving forward, our contracts for female athletes will include written terms that reinforce our policy. We recognize we could do more and that there is an important opportunity for the sports industry to evolve to support female athletes. So in other words, they're going to redo their policy to actually pay through pregnancy, right? Through the time that they'd be taking off. Now, what was interesting about this was there was right on top of that, there was a news release that talked about this new Nike self-lacing basketball sneaker that's going to be coming out. It's going to be called the Nike Adapt BB, which I guess stands for basketball.
Self-lacing? You just stand back and it just starts to tie a knot?
Well, I don't think it has a knot. It has some kind of mechanism to tighten the shoe around your foot. So it automatically resizes once you put your foot in it. And you could use buttons on the side of the sneaker or access an app in order to adjust the fit according to your needs.
I like it.
Cool. Right. I started looking at this to try to find what this was all about, right? And where this is not a new release. What I think
they tried this before.
You know what I'm saying?
Was it the one they had the old pump? You pump.
Yeah, but I think what they
remember
did.
Remember that one?
Yeah, I do. I don't know where that went. What I thought was really interesting is that it seemed to me that they put this really cool video on top of and put this whole thing inside of this discussion of their bad actions, trying to make themselves, you know, trying to take your eye off the ball. Because who wants to read about this crap about people getting paid or not getting paid because during certain illnesses and things like that? Look at this cool shoe. I thought it was a nice.
I have some thoughts on, yeah, I believe you're right, but I have some thoughts on this getting paid or not getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, these endorsement deals are not jobs.
Right.
It's like it's almost
a why are you saying it's not a job? I mean, you get paid. You're good in the sport. You say, okay, Nike wants.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But it's not like you're working for the. You're not like you don't go to the office. It's not a job. It's a deal where you show up a lot. It's like driving around one of those. Remember those cars that had a billboard? The whole car was a billboard.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the only way you could get the gig is if you drove X number of miles to and from work, so you could get, you know, they'd pay for your car payments more or less. But you had to be on the road driving. You just couldn't get one of those billboards and put the car in the garage.
Okay.
I equate it more with that. If you're out of commission because you're pregnant or you're in the hospital or whatever, it's not like you got insurance or, and a real business that's covering that because you're a professional athlete. Your team is covering the aspects of that that need that refer to or have something to do with your income. I don't see where the endorsement company has to pick up the tab while you're out of commission. It doesn't make sense to me.
The only difference is we live in a world where there's expectations that everybody has a right to get paid for something, no matter what, and that big companies have enough money that they can pay me. Nobody.
Well, how does,
you know, everybody thinks that you work for a company, you get all these benefits. So I want
people to think about that when they think about contributing to this show.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. Perfect. The fact is, whether you're listening or not, you should donate.
Exactly. Yes.
whether we have a show or not.
Nike should be giving us money.
Yeah. Why isn't Nike giving us money? I mean, they give all the money. Well, that, of course. You can go over to DH Unplugged, by the way, click on the donate button and donate to help with our endorsements, our sponsorships. And that would be the equivalent. Mexico-Canada tariffs are lifted. The U.S. has reached a deal with Canada to lift tariffs on steel and aluminum imports in a move that could lead to approval in a no North American deal. And this, you would think that these steel companies would get a little bit of a breath underneath them, a little bit of just some stamina from something like this, because it seems like these deals that went on that cut them down so badly, the tariffs that were put on, you know, the stocks have been obliterated. Can't get anything. You know, U.S. Steel is still in the toilet.
Yeah, probably a good investment.
Seems that there's some more angles trying to get it. There are more things that you see every day that somebody's trying to angle in on getting Trump in trouble for something. It's amazing. The hatred for this man by the Democrats and all these others, right? I mean, you think they'd give up already. Okay, we didn't. All right, it's enough.
Yeah, it's hurting them. They don't realize it.
Can we just move on a little bit here? And if not that, let's just dig our teeth into one item and stick with it. Nope, it keeps on expanding. Right now, there's an anti-money laundering deal. The specialists at Deutsche Bank recommended in 2016 and 2017 that multiple transactions involving a variety of entities that were controlled by Donald J. Trump and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. They were going to report them to the Federal Financial Crimes Watchdog. Somehow, this never got reported. It went up the channels, but somebody squashed it. So the way they make it look is that somebody squashed it rather than it was brought up and not found to be credible.
Right, which is probably the case.
You know, so somehow, you know, they said, well, because they lent, you know, tens of billions of dollars to Trump and Kushner, that they're such good clients, they probably squashed it. So I don't know. It's just,
that's a dead end.
Yeah. We got to go back to big box retail, unfortunately, because we starting to see earnings again from them. And if you remember, they were left for dead midway through last year. And then somehow they magically got a little bit of a lift towards the middle part of last year. And they started to actually rally back very significantly. Everybody said, that's it. The mall's dead. The big box retailers, they're done. They're going out of business. You know, it's all over, right?
Yep.
So now we're starting to see the backside of this. We're starting to see earnings come out. JCPenney and Kohl's come out. Not a pretty picture. Kohl's was down 12% on the report. JCPenney down 11%. Home Depot also reported, and they had a questionable earnings call. One of the big things that happened was that they didn't make the numbers, but more importantly, they mentioned, you know, by the way, all of our expectations and our outlooks do not include the increase in the tariffs, the increase of the 25% on the $200 billion, nor on the proposed tariffs. So everybody's like, huh? You're giving us numbers without that? How does that work? So the stock was down about 3%, but came back down about 1.5% for the day. After the close today, so that was this morning, after the close today. Nordstrom missed by a country mile. Missed on revenues, lowered their fiscal 2020 outlook. Shares are hitting a 9-year low in the after hours. So we're back on with the mall is dead and retail is gone.
You know, I hate to sound like an old man, but I do go to these stores and check them out. I go to Nordstrom's. I go to the Rack. I love shopping at Amazon. I don't buy clothes there. And you go there and it's like the clothes selection stinks. The sweaters are bland. The suits, you want to buy a new suit. I could use a new suit or something a little more modern than the ones I have. I got a lot of suits, but I could use another one. I'd buy another one if the price was right and the style was good. No, there's nothing. And so you go to these stores and there's nothing. It's like the whole business I'm reminded of when all the computer magazines decided they don't want to be magazines anymore. They all want to go to the internet. They could have stayed in business. I found a Vogue magazine just on the rack just the other day. The thing is 700-800 pages big.
Those are
Vogue magazine's still making money, and some of the other ones are still making money. How come these guys couldn't do it anymore? They've seemed to have lost heart.
You know, I still get some magazines that I like Sweetwater, or not a magazine, but a catalog. Sweetwater puts out a just dynamite catalog. Uline.
Yeah, the music guys.
Yeah, dynamite.
Yeah, catalog. They have a great catalog.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that's almost like a coffee table thing that you just want to.
You can thumb through and go, wow, yeah. I think I'm going to learn how to play guitar so I can buy this guitar.
Right. I mean, there's great stuff in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there.
So this is a problem, but I do understand. I mean, I went to the store. I picked up a new tie for the Curry event.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I went to the store, and there must have been, 15 tables of ties. You know, they put them on these tables everywhere.
And yeah, like, and they were crap, weren't they?
Yeah, I'm like, and they're not cheap. I'm like, is there any rhyme or reason to any of these ties? Like, is it a color banding? Is it design?
No, they're terrible. Most of the ties on the, I know exactly what you're saying because I see that at Macy's. I see it everywhere. I see all these ties. If you go back into the heyday of the tie in the 70s, probably the 70s, or the 80s, even pretty good too, there were all these custom-made ties and ties from Japan and Perry Ellis handmade and all these really collectible ties that were all over the place, and they were compelling. That's the reason I think a lot of people wore ties, because they were very cool-looking ties. You go there today, it's just all the regimental-looking crap ties that they're not pretty. Nobody would say, hey, nice tie. They won't do it because these ties are junk, and they wonder why they're not selling them. The whole thing is beyond me.
Yeah. I think it has come down to maybe nobody wants to be a professional buyer. You know, the buyers were the ones, right? The buyers are the ones that would set the tone for the store. And I think what's happened now in some of these, I know Dillard's in particular, Macy's even worse, is that they basically, it's a flea market. It's a department store for men that is set up by manufacturer or by designer.
Well, there's that. Yes. That's a terrible problem. Yeah, that is problem number one. The other thing is, we're talking about buyers. Macy's in particular, and I think Dillard's and a few other operations have gone to centralized buyers. So there's no buyers at the stores. Your local store hasn't got a bunch of buyers. They ain't got this buyer and a that buyer. They used to have to be stocked with five or six buyers, a homewares buyer and a clothing buyer and a women's wear buyer, all these buyers. There's no buyers. They're all in New York, and many of them. And that's the reason I always said, if you want to buy a suit, a good wool suit, like a really dynamite expensive suit, go to Florida, because these guys have centralized buying out of New York, and they don't know that it's hot in Florida, apparently. And you can buy these expensive suits in Florida that nobody in Florida is going to buy because it's too hot.
It's not like too hot. Wool stinks in Florida. Wool stinks in Florida. Stinks. And
so you buy these expensive suits because they're on sale.
Yeah.
They're giving them away.
Right.
I've bought a lot of suits from Florida.
Yeah, it's like it's like buying bathing suits in Alaska.
Exactly.
You know, in the middle of winter, there's some bathing suits. They're probably on sale.
Yeah, they're on sale, I can assure you. The question in my mind is what are they doing there in the first place?
Again, bad buying. It really is. It's bad buying habits, in my opinion. Just terrible buying habits overall. And just this all of this discussion tonight is going back to the same thing. There's no pride in workmanship anymore. That's what it is.
Well, there's no pride. I don't know what the workmanship has to do with buyers, but they.
No, I'm saying it's an epidemic.
They're not making anything.
It's an epidemic across industries. It's an epidemic with people. Is.
Absolutely.
You know, I would, if I had a Nike endorsement and I couldn't play, I'd want the money, but I wouldn't think that I deserved to get the money. If I'm in business of any sort and I can't work, now, yes, there's disability insurance and things like that, that I should have been prepared to buy. And of course, if my contract said that I'm getting paid either way, that's another thing. If I had a guaranteed deal. But if I'm on an hourly pay as an example, and I don't work that hour, you know, I remember when I used to have, remember the old time clocks with the punch cards?
Oh, yeah.
I would check out first and then finish up the rest of stuff I was doing because I didn't want to, like, feel like I was getting over on the employer. Maybe I'm stupid.
Well, you're honest. You're an honest man.
Yeah. Tesla had an update here, but we talked about this. Oh, the one thing we didn't talk about was the research report that came out of Morgan Stanley today. They said, Morgan Stanley said that, you know, when we look at the stock and we look at the pricing of it, and our worst case scenario that we're modeling in is that it's worth $10 a share.
Yeah. I say this about a lot of companies.
$10 a share.
It's a 50-cent stock. It's a $10 stock. And it's, you know, up there in the sky. Yeah, $10 a share. What is Ford? What is Ford's stock price right now?
It's not a lot. 14?
14.
It's a
Ford's
10.
Giant
it's a 10.
Company.
It's a 10. They've been making $10. Cars. $10 a share.
Yeah, $10. Is they're making cars. They're selling them all over the world. They're selling millions of product.
Yep.
What's the price? $10. Same. Well, why isn't this the same price?
You got me. Crazy. $10 a share. Drone spies, back to this again. It seems that everything is a spy. Now these Chinese-made drones, there's a couple of companies that make these devices, says that they may be sending sensitive data to the manufacturer back home in China where it can be accessed by the, you know, looked at and they can find out things, the government can. So this is a big warning by the Homeland, Department of Homeland Security. So the question I had is you're flying these fakakta things overhead and you're taking pictures of stuff. And what is it that they want from this? What information and what do they hook it up to get the information over? I don't understand any of this.
Well, one, what information can they get from a drone that they can't get from the overhead satellites that that freely sell this information?
Right.
Unless they're flying the drone over Area 51 or an Air Force field or somewhere it gets shot down.
It'll be shot down immediately.
Yeah. And so what are they getting that they couldn't get otherwise? And you're right. Well, how are they doing this? Is it hook the drone up to your computer to download the photos? Is it talking to China?
So ridiculous.
It's theft of computing services.
The whole thing is ridiculous. It's again, the same that this reminds me of other horrible events in time where you just blame an outside source for everything that you want to just correct for whatever reason. It's everything is China. So in the UK, the British Prime Minister Theresa May is going to offer Parliament a vote on a second referendum for Brexit.
Gee.
She's talking about
predicted that from day one.
A new deal. It's just crazy. That was actually predicted by John and I think corroborated by Adam Curry on the No Agenda show, which you can listen to each and every Thursday and Sunday. I have not listened to it yet. Let me just finish this. Each and every Thursday and Sunday, 12 o'clock, noagendashow.com, No Agenda Stream. They live stream it. You can also get on every podcast place that's out there. But I heard that your interview with Anthony Scaramucci that you did because you knew you were going to be busy on Sunday at the wedding and all that good stuff. You got to get yourself all made up and go to the get a manicure and all, you know, get the hair done before this party on Sunday that we went to. I heard your interview with Anthony Scaramucci was terrific.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
So I got to listen to that. Give me, need to listen to this week's No Agenda, this Sunday's No Agenda show for all the information there. Last in this section here is, you know, I don't know if you've been looking at this, but like Mario Battaglia, but is that him? No. Mario Batali. Yeah. Mario Batali.
Battaglia.
He's been in big trouble. His restaurants are going down the crapper. He's off the
deal. Yeah, it's
deal.
Too bad. He's really good.
He's a creeper. Chef Jamie Oliver's restaurant empire in the United Kingdom is on the brink of collapse.
Yeah, well, I never thought Jamie Oliver was really a chef type of managing somebody who could manage restaurants. He was just a good kind of a superstar home cook.
But a lot of these kind of superstar cooks are getting the cold shoulder somehow. Something's not going right.
A lot of them can't run a big organization. I think Mario could, but then he would turn out to be kind of a douchebag.
Yep, creeper.
Yeah, and so, you know, that hurt his business. Some of these guys, you know, they're nerds. It's a nerd's dilemma. A lot of nerds, rich nerds, they get rich. He was a cooking nerd. Musicians have the same thing going on. And, you know, musicians, though, attract women, just generally speaking. And but these other guys like Jamie Oliver and these other, I don't understand how he got into the restaurant business in the first place. He seemed more like an entertainer.
Well, I mean, you have that goes on and you have to have some kind of entertainment. I mean, I watch some of these people on the Food Channel and a lot of them more entertainment than anything else. I mean, you know, you look at, I mean, the Galloping Gourmet was an entertainer.
Julia Child.
She did her thing. Everybody liked her. She has a bit of a personality.
Yeah, and she didn't open up a bunch of restaurants.
Right. Emerald, bam. You know, he had his thing going on.
Well, he did own a lot of restaurants, but he was a restaurateur.
Right.
He just happened to be an entertaining guy.
Right. Exactly. I mentioned to you that it's important to support the show if you are listening right now or not. Please go over to DH Unplugged and click on the donate button and give to your heart's content. It's very important to support the show as we don't eat if you don't support us. So,
and we need to get more T-shirts.
Yeah, we need more. We do. I still haven't put that
order.
And
also some gear.
We need gear. Need gear, especially if this road craps out like it did last week.
You know, I can't figure out for the life of me. I don't know how I recorded that show last week on Skype.
Well, by the way, I didn't hit the record button on this show until 20 minutes in. But fortunately, I have it recorded somewhere else.
Oh, well, that's not very good.
Yeah, obviously, I'm still a little bit incapacitated by the taco/Lone Stars. Although that scotch I had, that Blanton's with you after hours, was very good. And you were drinking something? What were you drinking?
When we went to the Four Seasons. I was drinking some Armagnac because it's a better deal than cognac at these hotels. Mm. And they tend to be slightly underpriced for what you get.
Yeah, it was good. Good time. Let's see here. All right, there's been some requests for us to bring back the limericks, but we'll see how that works.
There was a lot of requests to bring back the limericks. So everybody that was at the Curry wedding that knew about our show told you to bring back the limericks.
Who would have known? Who would have thought? Who would have thunked? But we'll do that. We'll look to do that. Assassination by milkshake, or I should say assassination attempt by milkshake. Nigel Farage was struck by a milkshake on a visit to Newcastle City Center. He was walking along doing his thing and somebody just like walked up to him basically with a big cup and just opened it up and just threw it on him. And he was just all pissed off about the security.
I would be pissed off.
Yeah. He was hit by a drink. Bangladesh has banned fishing off its coast for 65 days to try to boost the depleted fish stocks. The government told the BBC that all types of fishing vessels would be covered by the ban and Coast Guards would enforce it starting yesterday. Thousands of fishermen are planning protests, and this ban is going to be from May 20th through July 23rd. Now, if anybody's been to, like, basically anywhere in Asia, they really, rape the oceans. I mean, just think about all the sushi that's consumed in Japan.
Yeah.
But if you ever go to the markets, there is an incredible amount of fish. Every single kind of fish. Every small, medium, and large fish. Anything that is edible, they take. And that's a problem. So I guess in Bangladesh, it got really out of control. So they're putting a ban. This is a great story. Graduation keynote speaker Robert F. Smith, a philanthropist and investor.
Yes, this guy.
This guy, he says he's doing his little, he's at Morehouse. And
he's the United States' richest black person.
Oh, is he? Really?
Yep.
Wait, is he the AOL guy?
$5 billion, I believe.
Is he the AOL guy?
No, not at all. No, you're thinking of Parsons.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of Parsons.
This guy was a part of a real estate group or a venture funding group or some sort of, it's banking related, or financial related.
He's going to be eliminating all the student loans for the graduating class.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
How great is that?
Yeah, he's worth $5 billion and he figured out that he could probably do this more than once.
Yeah.
You'd think these other guys worth more than $5 billion. He's only worth $5 billion. What about the guys worth $100 billion? Why don't they do something?
They come in a little bit.
Nothing. They bitch and moan and hate Trump.
That's all it is. As long as they hate Trump, they're happy. We're going to end with some fun facts here, and then we'll get into the stocks and some of the things that we talk about there. I have 6 fun facts for this evening. The first one is, if you heat up a magnet, it will lose its magnetism. You aware of that one?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Not all magnets, but most magnets, yes.
And now this is something that I don't know why we talked about this over drinks at the Four Seasons, but this topic. Cruise ships have morgues that can hold and store up to 10 bodies at once.
I did not know this.
The average amount of people that die on a cruise ship per year is 200.
On one ship?
Not on one ship. I think generally on all ships.
Huh. Yep. Well, it makes sense because most people on cruise ships are, old farts.
Ah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But they have they're looking at possibility of 10 people at once. Well, a part of the problem comes in if you're on a cruise ship in a different country, they may not be able to release the body. So they have to kind of store things, I think, for a while.
Yeah.
As long as they don't mix it with the lettuce locker. Or the meat locker.
What if you have more than 10? Maybe you have to.
Yeah. You may. Make a little room. Can you slide the ice cream a little bit to the right there? We're going to use that shelf.
Why is there a finger in my soup?
During the entire run of Gilligan's Island, it was never revealed if Gilligan was the first or last name of this gent.
Oh, yeah, Gilligan.
Yeah. Number 4. If you add up all the numbers on a roulette wheel, you'll get 666.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. 666, that's the devil's number. 611 is a very famous number in the Jewish religion, 611 laws, rules that we have to live by. In addition to that, that's why the Chinese apple, what do you call that thing there? Chinese apple.
Chinese apple?
With the seeds. It's a fancy pomegranate. The pomegranate has 611 seeds.
Does?
Yeah, that's what I was told.
I doubt this.
Somebody look this up for it, please.
No, count some seeds in a pomegranate.
Oh. Let's see here. It takes Uranus 84 years to orbit the sun once. And this is something that you may use in the future. The collective group of lemurs, is called a conspiracy. A conspiracy of lemurs.
Huh, that could be.
Yeah. So
it's like a murder of crows. What's it got to do with murder?
Right. Somebody in the chat room, look up how many seeds are in a pomegranate. And let's get over to the stocks. And while we do that, we'll play our little music. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk. along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discussed in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
Ah.
Just a little point of reference here. We're getting a lot of different information from the on the pomegranate. 613. Maybe it was 613. Maybe that was the number I was thinking. 613. But there seems to be some disagreement. But I guess the Jews made something out of it to make it look good. Make it have some significance here. Take the stocks.
All right, here we go. So we have three stocks kicked off. We have most stocks in the green. And not counting the one stock, the Beyond Meat, which I believe is yours.
Yep.
You shorted it, and it went up. So and you got kicked off. And that's
all I needed was two more days.
Two more days. Yeah, well, the way this game's played, you didn't help. Mm-hmm. DSP Group, my old stock from 2.6 from February 6th, finally got kicked off. Ended up with a 10% gain. And that was DSP Group. And that was a chart pick. It was based on chart activity that I liked. Church & Dwight is up 15%. The Love stock, that's a winner, has gone on since February. It's quite good. Kinder Morgan still up. Insiders trading. Kraft Heinz, a buy you saw as a bounce candidate. It's dead money right now. Walgreens Boots Alliance is down a little bit. I saw his insiders thing. You know, I went to a Walgreens the other day, and I don't think I'm going to invest unless they start gussing up these places. I think CVS is a better idea.
Interesting.
So, I mean, I like Boots in Europe and in England, especially great places. But the Walgreens are just junky, and there's nobody in there ever. It's almost like, you know, that clothing store used to Joseph A. Banks.
Oh.
The place is always dead empty. So you're wondering, what is this, a money laundering operation? What is going on with these guys? Because you just don't see anybody. Aerojet, that's what you think.
I hear you.
Aerojet Rocketdyne Holdings, I saw a chart action. They're up 13%. That was pretty good. Snap got kicked off. Veru, Triangle Descending, which is 8% up. I like that Triangle Descending thing. I got one again today, I think. AES Corp, insiders buying up in 1 week. Cody, insiders buying up in 1 week, up to 10% gain. So that was, I'm kicking ass here.
Yeah, you're kicking ass and taking names.
I'm taking names.
Yep. Yep. You are. You are doing pretty good here. So I got in here too. I got Neo and I got Ford, right?
I'm not doing Ford.
No, I'm doing Ford. You're doing Neo.
Yes, I'm doing Neo.
I'm doing Ford because
I have
cost cutting.
Yes.
And what are you doing, Neo?
Well, I'm this Triangle Descending thing has got my attention.
With Neo?
No, with all of them.
Oh.
So I'm looking at this particular indicator, and there's one I'm looking at, and I'm just kind of a combination of reasons I kind of like it. Mm-hmm. Because I like regional banks to begin with, and Summit State Bank is on a triangle descending. It's not breaking out, so it's going to be iffy. But it looks like the floor has got a multiple bottom, and the floor is around 11, and the stock's selling for 11.50. And it's triangle descending with an $11 bottom. It's 11.50. It's a regional bank. Everything I like.
What's the symbol?
SSBI.
SSBI, Summit State Bank. Got it. 457.
And Neo. Those are my two.
And this is descending triangle.
Yeah.
Descending triangle. All right. We got that in here. Okay.
I should mention there is some insider action that I looked at, which is Hanes Celestial. Looks like somebody's buying tons of it. Oak Tree Capital Group, asset managers, and Cody's back on there again. Somebody's still buying in, and I'm already in that, so I'm not worried about it.
Mm. All right, we'll get that listed. Of course, as we mentioned, if you like the things that we talk about, please go over and donate. It's more than a please. We request your presence in the donation room for any amount that you can give. We would appreciate it. A personalized email goes out to everybody saying something like, hee hee, thanks so much. But we do send you out a personalized thank you to that. And, of course, listen to No Agenda, like I mentioned, on Thursdays and Sundays. Next one's coming up this Thursday. I'm sure you'll get a recap of the wedding and all that. We saw, actually, I was with John in the new studio. There was some cool stuff going on. There was buttons, there was pedals, there was
Adam's got a studio that's a really professional studio. It's
a whole big stand-up desk, which is great. And it came up to my chin.
It was, yes, stand-up. The stand-up studio, yes, it's stand-up guy.
Very good.
So, he's got a lot of gear in there, that's for sure.
All right, well, we're going to end it there, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, see you then.
Right, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.